In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome, everybody, to the Xenial Chronicles. I am James.
I am Mike.
And this is our second episode. Super excitement. People have said some really good things about the first one, which we're excited about. Hopefully, we'll have something for you to enjoy today.
Absolutely. Hope so, man. So, what's on the table?
Like our little mascots and some turtles. Oh, were we talking about?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
We do have turtles on the table. What's that about?
We have turtles on the table. Well, one, it's a, you know, nice table dressing for anybody that might get a chance to see the videos of the podcast. But also it was found by my wife because Mike here is a huge fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Always have been, man.
And so when she saw it, she said, you know what? This is perfect for you guys to have for table dressing for your podcast because it's something Mike likes.
Why, thank you.
And we'll discuss these multiple ways, but this will be in the second half of the podcast, the turtles will. Because today we are talking about toys.
Toys, huh?
Exclusively about toys. First part of the episode and the second part of the episode. However, two different things with toys.
Yeah, what's up?
So the first part of this, kind of interesting things happened back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
Especially 1980. A certain president was elected in 1980. Mr. Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
I'm of the firm belief that Ronald Reagan did probably one great thing for the United States, and that was to introduce the rest of the United States to Jelly Bellies, which was only kind of a thing in California before he came around. He was
a huge
Jelly Belly fan.
So he was like pushing Jelly Bellies while he was...
He literally had them on his desk.
Really?
And was saying, these are Jelly Bellies, and people would be offered them when they'd come to visit the president. No joke, Reagan was like basically free advertising for Jelly Belly.
Do you think he had a stake in it?
Do
you think he had stock?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Huh.
I think it was just more dude like Jelly Bellies. I can't disagree with him. Jelly Bellies are awesome.
True, they are.
And I'm
actually shocked. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Being a Jelly Belly fan like I am, yeah, I knew that for a long time.
That's killer.
So Reagan was elected in 1980.
Okay.
And this is important to the story because what we're talking about right now is toys that spawned cartoons for the sake of selling the toys. Now,
I see what you're talking about.
Let me get to here. In 1969, FCC classified a Hot Wheels cartoon as a 30-minute toy commercial. Basically, they considered it a 30-minute toy commercial, and it kind of destroyed the cartoon.
Okay.
Because there had been rules set in place for toy companies not to use cartoons or other medium to advertise, especially to kids. They were trying to be careful about how they advertise to kids because of how kind of pliable the kid's mind is, how easy it was to convince them.
Absolutely.
And so that happened. Now in the 70s, as a result of this happening in 69, the Federal Trade Commission proposed to have regulations to kind of restrict how you could advertise to children.
Okay.
Where you could put various logos of things, what you could sell, how you could sell to children. Okay, how you could promote things to children.
So they were doing this with toys before they were doing this with cigarettes? Is that what you're telling me?
There was the toy issue. There was probably issues with cigarettes at that time as well. Though really, back then, they didn't need to advertise cigarettes very much. People were just smoking them. I mean, it was just kind of the natural way of things.
But, okay. Well, I mean, hell, they were using like Flintstones cartoons back in like the 50s, 60s and stuff.
Yeah, to sell cigarettes.
Yeah.
But that was not targeted at kids. That was targeted at parents, at adults.
Right.
Even though it was using the Flintstones cartoon, it was targeted at adults too.
Okay.
To do it. It wasn't necessarily set for a kid target. So in the 70s, again, the Federal Trade Commission is trying to lock down on this and say, no, we need to regulate how advertisers can advertise to children.
Okay.
Because the advertisers were trying to get to those children. They're trying to feed that in the kids. You want to buy this, go make your parents go buy it for you. Right?
Interesting. Okay.
So Reagan gets elected in 1980. Reagan appoints a new Federal Trade Commission chairman that is more concerned with the businesses and how much money the businesses are making than they are with dealing with any parent complaints about advertising or any parent concerns about advertising.
Okay.
And with this, Congress then passes the Federal Trade Commission Improvement Act, which basically made it so the Federal Trade Commission no longer had the authority to regulate ads and marketing to kits. So what ends up happening as a result of these things, this happens in 1980, 1981.
He deregulated toy advertising.
Yes. And what you end up having is in 1982, the top 10 toys that were being sold at the time,
right,
all of them were toy lines that were made first, and then the cartoon came afterwards. So this wasn't where, like, you're making like the Disney movies. They make the Disney movies, and then Disney makes the toys of the various things for the Disney movies.
Right.
This wasn't like this. This was, here's an existing toy line, and how we're going to sell it, instead of doing just a regular commercial, we're going to write a cartoon, a half-hour cartoon, for these kids to watch, become invested in the cartoon of it, and then want to buy this toy line that already exists.
Son of a gun, dude.
And more importantly, that meant the toy companies were in charge of the storylines of the cartoons,
right,
not anybody writing on the cartoons. Here are some examples. In fact, here are the top examples,
okay,
of this.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah, yeah.
Transformers. Care Bears,
oh.
He-Man, G.I. Joe, GoBots, and Street Sharks.
Okay, wait a minute. Like, this is all coming together. There's way more than just that, isn't there?
These were the pioneers of it in the early 80s. These were the things that were on our Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
That were, these weren't cartoons that, like, let's make this cartoon and put it out for the kids to enjoy, whatnot. This was,
totally,
we have the toys already. Here is the cartoon.
Right.
To sell the toys. And in fact, give you some examples. Care Bears, for instance, wasn't even a toy line yet. It was, it became a toy line as a part of the making of the cartoon series.
Right.
What it was before that was actually, doing research, I found this out. It was a set of greeting cards.
Seriously.
It was greeting cards that was made into toys and then into the TV series at the same time.
You're kidding.
Nope, not kidding. The Transformers is one of the more interesting ones, because actually Transformers and G.I. Joe, both, they're both Hasbro.
Right.
Toy lines.
Right.
And what was interesting about these were, the Transformers movie came out before the G.I. Joe movie.
Right.
Talking the original animated Transformers movie. You've seen that, I'm assuming.
Yep.
How about the original animated G.I. Joe movie? Cobra Law, all that stuff?
I don't think I actually saw that. Okay. I remember the Transformers movie for sure.
Okay, what's one of the biggest things you remember about that Transformers movie?
The death of Optimus Prime.
Of course, the death of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, totally. You know, that and Eric Idle, but that was after I became a Monty Python fan in, like, my teenage years.
Yeah, he's one of the, on the Junk Planet, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's that whole sequence of Optimus dying at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Then you get Rodimus Prime. Sorry for spoilers of anybody who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, I'm really sorry that hasn't touched
your life.
By the way, we're talking about
now, I definitely have, and people just, like, skewer me over this sometimes. I have not seen the new Transformers films, the Michael Bay ones.
None of them.
Not a single one.
Wow.
Yep. I got to
I got to
miss the train on, like, hating on Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox and all them too. But okay, that aside, I missed those. So we're definitely talking about the one from the 80s. I don't know anything from those films. I don't know if somebody dies. I don't know anything. I don't know nothing.
I will say this may actually change your opinion about watching them. First of all, the thing to realize is, if you're watching a Michael Bay movie, it's just about the visual spectacle. And actually, those movies are visually stunning. The special effects in those movies, the transformations of the vehicles in the movies of the Transformers, the visual style it's everything you expect from a Michael Bay movie. It is beautiful to watch.
Sweet.
The dialogue is garbage. The story is basically garbage, but the visuals are amazing. It's worth watching just for the visuals. And then again, as I explain this, people were mad when the new Transformers movies came out, because, like, oh, we're breaking away from canon. Oh, we're not, you know, they're not doing the things that they used to do.
Right.
And the realization is, the only canon that really existed for these movies,
right,
honestly, was, let's just sell toys. There really wasn't much more.
Right.
In the way,
right,
of canon.
It was simplistic. It was create these characters that basically sell stuff to kids.
And the fun thing about that is, anything that you want to claim as being this is different from how it's supposed to happen, doesn't matter. It's all about the toys. It's all about selling the toys.
Yeah.
So in this animated Transformers movie from 1985.
Okay.
Again, the big thing is Optimus Prime killed right at the beginning.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Do you know that's why huge. That, do you know why that happened?
No.
Because the toy line wanted to stop making the Optimus Prime toys, wanted to push Hot Rod and Rodimus Prime, the new toys they'd come out with. They'd come out with a whole new line of toys. That's why the majority, in fact, if you think about it, Optimus Prime really sticks in your brain.
Yeah.
But most of the Transformers and the Decepticons die. Freaking Megatron dies and becomes Galvatron. He dies and is reborn as Galvatron by Unicron.
So they wrote that whole film
just to be able to
market away from the originals?
Yeah, well, to kill off one toy line, because they had already made this one toy line, sold this one toy line. So to get kids to buy the new line that was coming out instead of just buying the old stuff, they literally kill off
the
majority
of
things.
Okay, so was it just like a new, maybe a new set of, like a new set of, you know, 5-6-year-olds that are trying to, I don't understand why you would have to redesign and not just continue to make the same line. Is this like a royalties thing? Is this,
because
I'm
they
curious
wanted
what
the
kind
kids,
of business
no, they wanted
that
the
was.
Kids, they wanted the, so you're, let's say you're a kid that's into Transformers.
Yeah.
You've bought your Megatron. You've bought your Optimus Prime.
Right.
You've bought all these other different things, right?
Right.
Why are you buying another one? You're not going to buy any more. The only way they can get you to buy more is to make different ones. And the only way they can get you invested in the different ones is to remove the other ones by killing them off.
So you have new characters to concentrate on, and therefore you need to get those toys. And
they want, because they want you to have if you're an Autobot fan.
So the sales go down.
They need to develop interest,
so that's why they do it.
The sales plateau. Not necessarily go down, but they plateau, and they want to get them back up. They just kind of hold steady.
They just hold steady, and they want more. It's about selling more. Okay.
And the same thing, they attempted to do the same thing with G.I. Joe. In the G.I. Joe movie, they actually attempt to kill off a character and end up instead, because of the huge backlash that came from killing off Optimus Prime. I'm talking, this is pre-internet, but there was still huge backlash.
Why
do
you
got to
kill off the characters without, why can't you just introduce other characters?
Because you can't get people their thought was you couldn't get people to get invested in the new characters when they already had Optimus Prime, who was like the best there ever was. I mean, I disagree. Starscream is mine, but I love Starscream. Starscream is a badass, but, right. And he turned into a jet. How awesome is that? I'd rather be turned into a jet than a freaking, semi truck. Sorry.
Right.
But no, the thing is, if the kids had these toys, they wouldn't want to buy the other ones, and they wouldn't be as interested in the other ones unless they were the leads of the show.
Right.
And the only way to make them the leads, you kill off the original ones. That, like I said, there was
that's so terrible.
It is. And that's why there was big backlash. And that's why the guy who was supposed to die in G.I. Joe movie, I forget which one it is that's supposed to die in the G.I. Joe movie. They actually had him go into a coma instead and had him survive the movie, because they originally written it and started doing it
with
him.
Did they
end
the film with him in a coma?
Yes. They ended the film with him in a coma. Actually, no, I think he came out of the coma at the end of the film.
What kind of a jerk move is that?
That's to prevent him from dying, because they were going to have him die.
No, I get it. Oh, okay. So he comes out of the coma at the end of the movie.
Yeah, he goes halfway through the movie. He's supposed to have died.
Instead, they
have him go into a coma. And they originally had written it as him dying. And before they released it, they went back and redid the dialogue to make it so that he went into a coma, and then filmed another scene with him, or drew out another scene.
Yeah, that they filmed.
Drew out another scene with him doing it. Interestingly enough, Don Johnson is the main voice in the G.I. Joe movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Freaky as hell.
Killer.
But,
Miami Vice, right?
Yes. Yeah. Was, I think, it may have been around the same time, yeah.
Yeah.
86, 87?
Yeah, he'd be active at that time.
But both of those lines, again, Hasbro lines, both were trying to do the same thing. Kill off people so that they could bring in new people.
Right.
To, you know, new toys for the kids to buy.
Right. That makes sense.
And some of that worked. Again, some of it didn't. I mean, they could have just easily done new uniforms. I mean, anybody who's a G.I. Joe fan would want every version of Snake Eyes and or Storm Shadow that they could possibly get.
Totally.
Because those, especially Snake Eyes, everybody loves Snake Eyes. Again, Storm Shadow fan, I kind of sided with the villains. What does that say about me? I'm not sure. But
I don't know. I was a fan of Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes was awesome.
But yeah, you have, the Transformers line existed beforehand.
Right.
The GoBots were another company that was trying to cash in on what the Transformers were doing.
Okay.
And then they made a TV series, which was garbage, for much better way of saying it. I mean, it's universally considered to be a pretty garbage TV series.
Right.
Care Bears, again, greeting cards, and then the massive toy line, massive everything line, the different movies. It's still spawning movies and TV series.
Right, to this day.
You have He-Man, who, again, was another toy line.
He-Man was one that I never got into, man.
He-Man was another major toy line that had the figures and only so many figures at first, but once they were able to start the cartoon to sell the toys, they got everything else built. Dude, there was I forget what Skeletor's Cave was called, but they had Skeletor's Cave. I think it's Skull Mountain.
Skull Mountain was Skeletor. Castle Grayskull was He-Man's. All right, Castle Grayskull was awesome. As much as I wasn't really a fan of like the He-Man franchise.
Did you ever see the toy in person?
Yes.
It was an awesome toy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Killer. There were a lot of those big, like,
yeah,
a lot of those, the big, like, layer
well,
type.
Well, see, what's interesting about this is
type ones that were killer.
The change that happened here with these different shows,
okay,
is that before this, when toys were made,
mm-hmm,
for a TV show or for any other property like that, they were usually made after the show was famous, after the show had been running for a while.
Okay, right.
A biggest example, I know one of the big toys of like the 70s, 60s, 70s, I don't know exact time frame, but the Mego brand Star Trek toys were huge. Also the Mego brand, like Justice League, those kind of things. But they all came after different shows had been on. The Star Trek ones came out after the original Star Trek, the original series, was in reruns already.
Were they cranking out, just out of curiosity here, were they cranking out toy lines for shows that were already on the air at the time? Like, no, you know, Super Friends and all that kind of stuff?
Like
Scooby-Doo?
Like the Super Friends one?
I mean, they came out after, like, super.
And they came out after the show had been on. These ones,
yeah,
these ones were kind of the pioneers of make the toys first.
So it used to be,
make
hey,
the cartoon
these,
to sell them.
I remember that. There was, I remembered seeing toys, like toy commercials,
yeah,
for a series before the cartoon series came out. They would push like promoting the cartoon series with
there,
a toy line,
there are
collect
other
them
ones.
All, and there's like five or six of them to get,
mm-hmm,
and then the debut episode would come out.
That's and these were the things that these were the shows that spawned that. There's another one called Dino Riders. I don't know if you remember Dino Riders.
I remembered seeing it, never was a fan.
I actually had some of those toys.
I didn't get into that one.
But there's many, many, many different ones that were like that that started this. Again, there was another line of something,
mm-hmm,
that came out first that made, and again, these shows were the ones that were the pioneers of that. Once the this
so
Federal
like
Trade
the first
Commission
line
things,
that were toys marketed to children before a cartoon series came out,
yeah,
and the then, whole thing was like campaign planned.
Yep,
right?
The cartoon was totally planned just to sell the toys, not to be a cartoon, not to exist on its own thing,
not to have its own lore,
but just
or anything
to sell
like
the
that.
Toys. There's another famous cartoon that ended up being that way.
Okay, this one right here. I was wondering if you were going for that. Yeah, TMNT, man. That was meant to be a toy. Look at this. This is like from the era, and I'm not sure if you could see this on the cameras that we have, but this is it's basically we're using this as a tablecloth. That's basically a bed sheet.
Yeah,
and the bed sheet is literally what the toy line. It is a hand drawing of the toy line action figures, the originals. I have like most of these.
Yeah, the logo that's on it is from the original animated series.
Yes, it's and from the what, well, I mean that was on the toy line backing packaging.
What happened with Ninja Turtles specifically was obviously it was a comic book first, very edgy, very hardcore comic book.
Super hardcore. I know quite a bit about that series. I loved it. It was it's not just like edgy hardcore. We're talking like it was gory.
Yes.
It was bloody. The first film is based on the first comic book.
With the exception of all the blood and gore.
With the exception of the blood and gore. But they meet up with Splinter on top of a rooftop of a building, and they kill his ass.
Yeah.
Like, they shred.
You mean Shredder, not Splinter.
Did I say Splinter?
You accidentally said Splinter.
Oh, I meant to say Shredder. Yeah, they meet up with Shredder at the top of the building, and they that's their main mission in the first. I have a reprint of the issue one. And they kill his ass. It's crazy.
They don't, movie spoiler alert here, they don't accidentally throw him off a roof into the back of a garbage truck and have Casey Jones start the garbage truck mashing on him. They don't have that. And actually, one of the interesting things about the toy line, one of the things people kind of visualize when they're thinking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the colored, what do you want to call them, bandanas, masks?
I guess the
various colored masks that they use, the red, the orange, the
bandanas.
Blue, and purple.
Well, does a bandana go over the top of the eyes? Like it goes over the forehead, right? I thought a bandana went over the forehead.
Yeah, so it's more of a mask thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The colorful masks, non-existent in the original comic book.
They were all red.
This was something specifically for the toy line to differentiate each one of them.
Yes.
And then once the toy line was created, one of the creators of the comic I know was not happy with the toy line and the and the animated series and the subsequent movies.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was just like, okay, I'll just take money. That's fine. I like money.
Yeah,
but
they had a slight rift for a little while, then, dude, they made so much money.
So much.
And crazy. Little side point on this, based on the comic book series, did you know that these guys are specifically tied to a Marvel comic?
Yes. The thing that the canister that mutated them is from the truck that hit Daredevil.
Yes.
And made Daredevil blind.
There's
you thought
far
you was
going to
get me, didn't you?
There's far more to it.
Yeah.
Daredevil fights the Hand.
Yeah, they fight the Foot Clan.
They fight the Foot Clan. Yep. His the master that teaches him how to fight blind is named Stick.
Yep, and Splinter. Yep.
And Splinter. Yeah, there's just I discovered that, like, I was like, what? This is crazy, man.
There's a lot of interconnection with the Daredevil part of Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I loved it, man.
Yeah, and I think it's because one or two of them actually worked on Daredevil at one point or another. But
Is that how it works?
I think so, but I may be incorrect on that. I'd have to do research to be sure.
I'd have to take a look. I know that they were very, very, like, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, the guys that made the franchise.
Yeah.
They really were into Daredevil as a superhero. They thought he was like, and Daredevil has always been like a lot darker than most of the other Marvel series.
He can be, yeah. That's a series. It does get a little bit darker.
It does. It got crazy. But they liked that about it.
The Frank Miller run was heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Very heavy.
Mm-hmm. They like that about that. And that's why they kind of went into it. And I think around the time when they created the TMNT, when they were doing this main stuff, it was, they were, I think Miller was working on Daredevil around the same time, because he did Daredevil first and then he did Batman.
Yeah.
I know we're kind of offshooting here, but basically getting back to it, as far as a targeted toy franchise that spawns a cartoon series to sell a toy line.
Yeah.
This is like, I always thought of this one as the penultimate one. Like, this is not necessarily the first.
No,
but
not
these
not
guys
the first,
perfected
but yeah.
that marketing.
Yes, they did it. They did it in such a way as to, and they did it with the same characters. And like I was saying earlier about changing up, like on G.I. Joe, just changing the uniform, changing the stuff.
Yeah,
there's so many different versions of these four characters.
Oh yeah,
it's just the four characters still to this. I mean, you throw in Splinter, you throw in some of the baddies, but really, it's about the four turtles.
Yeah.
And they've even
thrown
in other turtles at different points in time, but nobody has the lasting power of these four turtles. And they just,
that's because all the rest of, like, okay, the other ones that are kind of cool, like the villain, like, you know, I can't think of the robotic one right now. Why not? I don't know why, but there were a lot of there's a lot of the villains that I thought were really cool. But dude, that one that gets stricken from the canon, the live action one that came out after the films, that was just so bad. It was called The Next Mutation.
They
introduced a girl turtle named Venus.
Uh-huh.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
It was the worst. I would consider, there are two mistakes in this entire series. And this includes the brand new cartoons, which are really good, by the way.
I want to, well, you know what? Hold that thought.
Okay.
Can you hold it?
Okay.
Can you hold it?
Yes.
Second part of the episode.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's connected to the toy, to this.
A little foreshadowing. It's kind of.
Go ahead.
Yes, it is. It's included in the marketing to children.
Go.
First off, at one point, that series based on the live action, because the movies were hot and they like stopped making the third film, I think, and then they made The Next Mutation as a live series afterwards.
Well, they made the third film, Turtles in Time.
Was a time traveling one.
It was when they went back to
Japan. It was just three. Yeah.
Interesting side note: the villain in that is played by Stuart Wilson.
Yes.
Who I know you're a big fan of Hot Fuzz, right?
Yes.
He's in Hot Fuzz.
He is. Who's he
play? I believe he's the... He may be the...
You're talking like the English arms dealer, right?
Yes. If he's not the priest, I think he's the doctor. He's not the priest, because the priest is somebody else. He's the doctor.
I've got to watch Hot Fuzz again.
I liked
him as an actor in that film. Yeah. That film is horrible. But I liked him in... I liked him in that film. Like, everything was like, the only thing that they did right was they brought Corey Feldman back for the voice of Donnie.
That helps, yes.
Yeah, but that was about it. Like, right. Everything else was a mistake.
But anyway, back to your point.
But getting back to it, that, even beyond that, that is still generally acceptable. And, dude, Vanilla Ice was less of a mistake than what I'm talking about with these two. So you have The Next Mutation, the series, which is horrible.
Yeah, was terrible.
if you ever watch it, it's the cringiest thing ever. And then, did you ever check out the stuff from the Coming Out of Our Shells tour?
I have no idea what that even is.
I have a story for you. Okay. This is the worst thing that they have ever done, all right? It is, so somebody thought it was a great idea.
Yeah. Now, let's preface. It's the worst thing they ever did with the Turtles.
Yes.
Okay.
It is the worst thing ever done with the Turtles.
There's a lot of worse things ever done. Like, you know, the camps in Germany back in the 30s, late 30s. Those were kind of the worst things ever done.
That's, but I just want to preface like that we're talking about the Turtles. This is like, this is the worst thing that this franchise ever did.
Okay, just as long as we know our parameters
Good Lord. So this is the worst thing that they ever did. They decided that it would be a great idea to actually have the Ninja Turtles be a touring rock band for children. I'm talking, they did stadium shows. The amount of just the disbelief that's washed over your face right now. It is that bad.
No, here's the thing. Having had kids when I had kids in the aughts, they had other properties that did stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Doodle Bops.
Oh, yeah. No, this is like, take the TMNT and turn them into the Wiggles, but try to make them edgy with rock music. Dude, they rap in this thing, and this was in like 1994. This was bad. This is terrible stuff.
That just sounds awful.
I'm going to show you this after, and anybody who's listening to this, go check it out on YouTube. The entire tour is on it. Dude, they even had, I think they had had an interview on Oprah to promote the show.
And
they
were on the Today
Show, and it was so bad. Dude, they're coming out in they've got like glitter sequined masks and bandanas and like all this just... bedazzled their entire costumes in order to make this work.
Everybody
and they couldn't have on. My least favorite part of this is you could tell it was obvious because they had to like cover their hands.
Yeah.
So they couldn't actually play. But part of it was that they had like renounced their lives as ninjas or whatever, and were trying to be a touring rock band to like use music to fight evil and not use violence. There's like barely any fights in the tour at all. Whereas if you're talking like theater, that would be the time to do it. And it just did not execute at all.
Okay. Then what I'm going to say is,
I dare you to watch it.
Well, you're daring. Here's what I'm daring you, sir. When you, being the tech guy, when you get this all posted on Facebook and YouTube and all that, on Facebook,
you want me to link it?
I want you to put in a link for at least one of the things for this.
I will link it. It's
just so that everybody has the opportunity to get it. So if you're just listening on YouTube or direct stream from our website, please go to Facebook and follow us on Facebook so that you can watch this apparently abhorrent.
It is god awful. It is the worst. It is the worst thing they ever did.
That's pretty terrible. And again, still within the idea of, now that these regulations have been stripped since 1981, let's market to children as much as possible. And those of you who are Xennials and listening to this, you remember when this all happened. You remember when Saturday morning suddenly became a commercial for everything you saw in the store.
Yep.
Now, I am going to make the comment of for people who are going, well, what about Star Wars toys? Because those were huge in the early 80s.
Yeah, but they were franchise first.
And they came after they came as kind of part of the film franchise. He didn't make the toys first. He wrote the film and made the film first and then had the toys. Especially with the first set of Star Wars toys, they came out very late. There was that empty box that people would buy. There was the display box for, you don't know about this.
No.
Okay. For the first Christmas after the movie was out,
right?
Toys had not been made yet. It was Kenner who made the toys for Star Wars.
Right. I've seen Wars toys themselves, well, but a display box.
What Kenner sold was an empty box that was a promissory thing. You sent a letter in, and once the toys were completed, they actually sent you the toys. No joke. And people bought the empty box.
They had nerd culture the hell down.
Well,
they were doing this in the 70s?
77, 78. The thing about this was...
Dude, that is some foresight. Because this is just a sci-fi film. I mean, you knew, but... Lucas, to know that they're going to sit there and collect like these grown-ass adults in the mid-70s...
Well, it wasn't adults that were doing this. This is not adults. This is kids.
I thought this was for, I mean.
No. Oh, okay. No, the adults didn't care about this. This was the kids who would force their parents or beg for their parents to buy this empty freaking box for them So that
they could keep their stuff on display.
It wasn't even for to keep it on display. It was just to have the empty box to know that they would get the toys when the toys came out. The kids probably didn't put the toys in the display box.
More brilliant than I thought it was. I thought that they were basically marketing a display box for these figures that they just had.
A freaking cardboard box, man.
Do you realize how much that freaking cardboard box would go for now?
You can find out on eBay because people have them that sell them.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, they are quite expensive.
I'm sure they are. That's fantastic.
I'm
excited at the foresight of that. I think that's marketing genius there.
George Lucas had his finger on the pulse for sure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
But again, this changeover made it so that all these cartoons started selling these toys. And we had, cartoons that bring us all good memories. But now as Xennial parents, for those Xennials that are parents,
right.
You're seeing now your kids getting this just advertising, hitting them all the time. Anytime a movie comes out, the whatever characters in the movie, their face is plastered on everything from McDonald's to freaking packaged yogurts to cookies and candies and everything.
Absolutely.
The face is everywhere. This is the start of it. These shows, when we were kids, these shows started that targeted attack at kids using their cartoons.
That's crazy.
And that was the spawn of it. So,
and then they moved on to Joe Camel.
Well, that's another topic for another time.
Right.
But all I'm saying is every one of you that had a Transformer toy, a Care Bear, He-Man, G.I. Joe.
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony was another one.
That was another one, for sure.
But
I'm just going through the list, man.
Or the people that had that were unlucky enough to get the GoBots instead of the Transformers because they were cheaper. that's what all this is about. And I didn't dwell too much on Street Sharks because that came a little bit later.
I was going to say, we should do a segment on the failed marketing ones. Like all the ones that are super obscure that nobody remembers people.
Street Sharks is actually pretty heavily remembered at this point.
Well, it is.
Especially because of who was hawking it originally.
It was a short series, but...
It was, but do you know who was hawking it? Who was who, one
probably,
of the,
what... Oh, you mean the toy company?
No, what who? What actor...
I think it was a Playmates.
No, what modern day actor was actually in the Street Sharks
commercials? I have seen this commercial.
You have?
Yes.
Who was it?
Dude, it's Vin Diesel.
It is.
And we will link to that too, because that's worth watching.
It is. So okay, that's gonna end this discussion. We will come back for more toy discussion, but a little bit more lighthearted one. Kind of getting into our own personal love of toys.
Cool, man. Right,
we'll be back in a few. Hey everyone, this is James from the Xennial Chronicles. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button at the bottom of this video. And be sure to click on the bell icon so you can be notified when we release new videos. And if you aren't watching on YouTube, please go to our page and do all that stuff anyway. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. And we are back, everybody. Thank you for continuing to listen. So we talked about the marketing of toys earlier. Now, we're going to be talking more on a personal note.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about our favorite toys when we were kids, and which ones
we can
connect to the ones that obviously were talked about in the previous segment.
Right.
But I'll let you kind of start because we already know about your love of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about the things that you had, wanted, and what really drew you to this toy line specifically. Go.
As far as that, I was one of the kids that saw the cartoon series first.
So you weren't aware of the toys before the
I was not
series.
Aware of the toy line until my grandmother brought me to Kmart one day after I'd seen the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. I used to, I would hang out at like anybody else who would stay at their grandmother's on the weekends or whenever.
Yeah, grandma let you watch the shows that mom and dad usually didn't let you.
Well, I mean, not really. No, I would with her, like my grandmother's Mexican, so she would, I would sit and watch Sábado Gigante on a Saturday night. But this is a different story.
Yes, of course. We'll come to that story at some point or another.
I'm sure.
Stories of fun things with grandma can be interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's not supposed to be dirty.
That's what the hell?
So go on, your toys.
Okay. So, anyways, as far as the series, I had seen the series first. I remember seeing the debut episode and all that kind of stuff. Back in the day, TMNT would run on weekdays after school all the time. And I would watch that show up until I was 12.
Yeah.
When I first saw the toys in store, I had known what the cartoon series had been at that time. So that was.
So you already had kind of a predisposition. You knew the characters, you knew which characters you liked.
Oh, yeah. Kind of you knew I was a fan of Mikey at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have one of the characters actually named the same name as you.
Absolutely.
It's always a bit of a stimulus. Although sometimes it backfires. I do remember reading James and the Giant Peach in school. And people ask me about peaches forever. Funny
That's
enough.
That's terrible.
Oh, no. It gets worse. When my son finally watched the movie, the half live action, half animated James and the Giant Peach movie came out. This Disney movie mid-late 90s. When he finally watched the movie.
Yeah, I remember.
He started asking me about where the peach was. And then asked me if I was afraid of rhinos. Because the rhinos supposedly killed his mom and his parents in the beginning. So and seriously, still to this day, whenever we see any clouds, my son will ask me, you know, rhinos? Rhinos? Are you afraid of the rhinos? I'm like, dude, I'm not afraid of the rhinos. There's no rhinos in the cloud. Seriously.
He's picking on his own dad.
Yes. I don't know where the damn peach is. Funny enough, I actually don't like the flavor of peaches at all. I don't like
peach flavor. You're not even a fan of peaches in general.
No. I mean, peach tea I can deal with, but like peaches by themselves to eat them, pie, cobbler. I don't want to, candies that are peach flavored, I just kind of stay away from them. It's just not a flavor I enjoy. And yet, constant questions about where's your peach, man? What happened to the peach? So sometimes it's a blessing to have something named after you or with the same name as you. Because like, hey, my name's Mike. There's a turtle named Mike. He can be my turtle.
And he has my favorite ninja weapon. Like, why nunchucks, bro? Okay. They're a terrible weapon, by the way. They're not a useful weapon.
Well, I mean,
they can be useful to anybody who doesn't know what the hell they are, but they're a gardening tool.
I understand they can be pretty good to play ping pong with. I'm just saying.
I have seen that video too. That's a pretty good one.
But well, see, of the turtles, I'm just going to interject really quick in here my experience with the turtles. I've always been a Leonardo fan.
He is like the most boring one, bro. Well,
he can be boring. Dude has swords. He's got two freaking swords.
I mean, he's all right.
What are the other turtles going to do against a dude with two swords? One of them's got a stick. The other one's got a stick that's been cut in half and a chain put between the two pieces of the stick. And the other one's got what? Pokers?
Those things are pokers. Those things are meant to break swords, man. They're built to break the size? Swords. Size are built to break swords.
Yeah, that's great and all, but like, I'm sorry, you still got to get... I don't know.
That's what you can do. You can grip at the hilt, twist, and bust the sword.
I get that, but at the same time, dude's got swords. That was always my thing. Was that dude's got swords? I'm with the dude that's got swords.
Did you realize the size of a katana blade is actually like a double-handed sword?
No,
by the way,
you can't
operate it with one. So he's not using katana. I think I saw something where they actually described specifically what weapon that was.
Yeah, I know the name of it, but my pronunciation of Japanese words would be completely horrific.
Yeah.
And I know at least three or four people that would listen to this that would be like, dude, seriously? But a katana is, I actually have a, cheesy, cheap replica katana that somebody gave to me.
Cool.
And yeah, it's a two-hander. You're not going to get much control over one, and that's even a cheesy one. If he's doing anything that's using any kind of katana that was traditional or appropriate... Yeah, it's way too heavy to use otherwise.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's how they would have been used. But anyway,
but aside from that, yeah. So basically, the first time I remember seeing was my grandmother would take me to Kmart, and I saw the toy line there. It was like, holy crap, what is this? I didn't know that this was from the marketing did its job, right? So I picked up all four of the original ones, and since then have obviously lost them because I was like five.
I was gonna ask if you still had any.
I was like 4 or 5 years old when it came out, so. No, I don't have. Well, I did end up repurchasing a bunch of them. Yeah. I found them at like, you can find them at like swap meets.
Sometimes you'll find them at thrift stores and a bag with a bunch of other toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I always kind of go through the thrift stores and stuff to try to find all those old things.
Have you ever actually done like a full on order it on eBay and pay like a crap ton of money for any one of them?
No. No. Okay. No. Why? When you could go to like, Denio's up the way, and
there are people that do that. There are people that want that specific piece.
And you know what's funny is I end up like eBaying old video games, so I do that myself. Like,
no, I can tell you right now, if I was,
there's a hell of a market for it.
Well, if I had like a free, $100 to throw around,
yeah,
there's one toy on eBay that I would totally buy.
What would you get?
X-Wing Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the story of that in a minute when I get onto some of the toys that I like.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so getting back to this, I remembered him there, but from there, like, I swear, like, the only toys that I would end up getting, once I saw that series and I was introduced to all the characters and all that kind of stuff, that was a big thing. So I got Baxter the Fly with the giant wings, and nice. I got the Rat King and with the little mousers, and I think the only one I didn't pick up was April, but I had Splinter, and I had all four of the turtles, and then I had like a bunch of the reissues. Like when the movie came out, they had the realistic type turtles where they had like instead of like all of their limbs instead of hard plastic, they were like rubberized limbs.
So you can move.
Which
them
I found it really, I found it really funny that I had more fun tearing the limbs off of them than I did actually like.
Not surprising, actually.
I had more fun with that, with those movie ones. But my favorite one that I had was...
Is it the hip-hop one?
Because no.
I love the hip-hop ones.
The hip-hop
ones? Yeah, you never saw the hip-hop ones?
No, I never got those ones.
You never got the hip-hop ones? I thought they were kind of cool. They also did a version at one point, a couple years ago, maybe 10 years ago. Uh-huh. I saw a version of them dressed as original series Star Trek. In Star Trek uniforms and stuff.
No.
Yeah, I saw those at one point. I will have to find that for you.
Yeah, I wonder what year those came out. They came out 10 years ago. You just saw them.
I saw them. I don't know exactly when they came out, so
that's
I can't
fantastic.
Give you exact information. But
I
didn't
even know they did that.
I just happened to see them at one point and be like, wow, those are kind of interesting take on turtles. But anyway,
that's fantastic. My favorite ones were ones that could transform. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I remember
open the shell and you could turn like it had two different heads on it that were on like a swivel. So the first head was like you could stand them up. Right. And you had a head that faced forward that had the bandana on it. And then you would open it up and you'd flip it. And it would be another head that faced upward from the shell because you could actually take the shell and turn it sideways.
Oh,
the bottom feet, the back legs became the front feet. And then the arms would go, the head would flip in, the arms would go inside the shell, and inside the shell, there were two rear feet that would pop out
the
back.
So like the flippers.
And they're the little, I think there were still feet. They didn't have flippers, but basically what they did was you could take the whole thing and turn it into a life-size baby turtle.
You can have a little baby turtle and then cover it in green stuff and then transform it.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was my favorite one that they had.
I could see why. I mean, that gives you the ability to act out the whole story.
That thing was, I don't know why. I had like three of them. I never got all four of them. The toy line was gone by the time I tried to get the fourth one. But
so was there any other toy other than turtles that was kind of your real major toy that you were into?
As far as like action figure type stuff, I was into the X-Men when the X-Men cartoon came out.
Okay.
That was cool. Had Wolverine with the retractable claws and stuff. I actually had the comic one of Wolverine, like there was the comic book one from the I don't know what era that was, but
kind
the one
the
where
tan
he was
and brown?
In the, the tan and brown costume one.
Okay.
That's the one I had. That one was awesome.
Nice.
I had Cyclops with the covered head Cyclops. Okay. Instead of the
see about the time that you probably
hair over the top
yeah about the time you probably had
series.
Those
uh-huh.
that you were getting those toys, I was doing the collector's cards, the Marvel collector's cards.
Oh, okay.
All the different card series. But
I was never into cards, and I knew a lot of people did cards, like Magic cards and Pokemon cards and all that were just not even my thing.
I
were getting big around the time I was in high school.
They were. Most of my D&D friends ended up branching out into Magic.
Yeah.
And I only started doing Magic about 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you started doing that. Cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun.
So I hear.
If you want, I can show you how sometime. But
I saw this meme the other day where somebody was actually taking, they were playing Magic cards with a bunch of smartphones.
Yeah.
So they had their smartphones all decked out, and every smartphone had a different Magic card on the screen. They were dealing Magic cards with a bunch of different smartphones at the same
time. That's just stupid.
Well, you could pull any card that you wanted to at any time.
Yeah, but that defeats the whole purpose of deck building.
It does take a lot of the money game out of it.
Actually, there's the money part of it, having to pay for all the different cards.
Right.
But the other part of it is the actual deck building. There's different formats that you can play in depending on how you build your decks,
right?
And building a deck, especially with what cards you have on hand, that's kind of like artwork, man. It's an art to build a deck properly with just cards that you have on hand, as opposed to being able to, like, we're straying a little bit, but in competitive Magic, people literally go out and buy the cards they want for their deck,
right?
And people replicate other decks, and that's great if you're trying to compete and make money. But if you just want to play for fun,
right?
Build decks with what you have on hand and try to make things work. I have something like 85 decks.
Yeah.
That I've built from just cards I had on hand and cards I just bought. You know,
How long? You got 85 card decks?
Hell yeah, man. Once I start doing something,
you know
what
I was. You know what? Rather than getting into like Magic cards and cards like that, I wasn't even barely into baseball cards. It wasn't really a big deal.
football for me.
Pogs were just awesome.
I was a little too old for the Pogs. That's the 2 year age gap.
That's got to be the age gap. The age gap, dude. Yeah. My brother was super into Pogs. He was about 3 or 4 years younger
whenever,
than I am.
When everybody was getting into Pogs, that's when I started playing D&D and put up my toys.
Pogs were awesome. They were all over that.
They were.
Okay. They were. So what about you?
Okay. My chief toy above all the other toys. Now, people think with me being a Star Wars fan, it's got to be Star Wars. Actually, my brothers had the Star Wars toy. Funny story. I bit the head off at least 2, possibly more Darth Vaders and threw the heads. We had juniper bushes in the front of our yard growing up, and they were my brother's Darth Vaders, and I bit the head off at least 2 of them. I was 3, 4. Darth Vader, I guess my thought frame was Darth Vader was the bad guy, and I was trying to stop him. But at least 2 of them, possibly more, and I would spit.
How old were you? 14.
Wasn't there. But I spit either the head or through the body into the juniper bushes in front of the house so that it was hard to recover. I just want to say now, if he is listening, I'm sorry, Joe. I have been sorry for years. I don't fully know why I did it. I know I've apologized to you multiple times. And yes, Alex, that's your dad I'm talking about. I had Star Wars toys. Most of them were the hand-me-downs from my brothers.
Cool.
But my big toy love?
Yes.
G.I. Joe.
I don't know why I never really got into G.I. Joe. I thought the toys were cool. I just didn't think they were cool enough to go get.
Oh, no. I had so much G.I. Joe, it wasn't funny. Cool. In fact, I had the biggest and best G.I. Joe thing ever.
What'd you have?
I had the USSS flag.
Wow.
That, sir, is the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
I actually have pictures of it. Maybe I'll post them on Facebook at some point.
Yeah.
I have pictures of the flag. Interestingly enough, on the flag, I have the SR-71 that they had. The G.I. Joe SR-71.
Cool. Yeah.
That's sitting in the picture that I have of the flag. The SR-71 is on there. There's also a weird spider looking thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually Skeletor's spider. And it was an automated toy. So you flipped a switch and the legs would actually move. And it had a spot for Skeletor to sit on it. Because I also had a lot of He-Man toys. I had Castle Grayskull.
I had Castle Grayskull.
Yes, I did.
That's cool.
And again, I had the USS flag. That was awesome.
Branching back off, I had a cousin that had the turtle van.
Oh, nice.
And he also, I think he also had the...
I had one too.
You had the turtle van?
No, I had a cousin that had the turtle van.
Oh, yeah.
I had a cousin that was one of my cousins. He actually was a big Ninja Turtle guy too, and he got all the different turtle stuff. I think he had the van, and he may have had the what's the ball thing?
The Technodrome? He may have had a Technodrome.
I may be wrong, though. That thing was sick.
It split open.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought the Technodrome was better than the van.
Oh, yeah, by far.
It split open. It was multi-level and like all this crazy. And the thing was flipping huge, man. Well,
that's part of the reason I like G.I. Joe so much. G.I. Joe had Cobra's Terrordrome, which was a similar thing. They had a mobile command center, which was like 2 foot by 3 foot that it rolled on wheels and opened up, and it had all these various areas in it where the G.I. Joe people could sit.
That thing's huge, man.
They had a freaking space shuttle launch thing.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding you. But again, the biggest one, the hardest one to find, the one that everybody wanted was that USS flag. Six foot long aircraft carrier.
Oh, that's how big that thing was?
6 foot.
Wow.
Huge. I can say I have about 60 to 70% of it still. Well, I don't have it.
What happened to it? If you said you have it. How do you lose parts of it? Did you buy it in pieces?
I wasn't that big a biter. No. you say buy it in pieces. No, I got it whole. It came as a Christmas present. My brothers got bikes that year. I got the box.
Did you buy it in pieces? Sorry, it's just hitting me.
Just hitting you, yes. Miscommunication. Pieces breaking off, getting lost through moves. I had an original Millennium Falcon and an original Imperial
Star Destroyer?
No, not a Star Destroyer, the Imperial Shuttle. The kind of triangular Imperial Shuttle.
Yeah.
Beginning of Return of the Jedi. Actually, it's what they take in Return of the Jedi 2 Endor.
Oh.
That Imperial Shuttle.
Oh, cool.
I had one of those, and I had one of the Darth Vader busts that opened up and you could put all the figures in it.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, those were kind of cool. The ships and all that kind of stuff were like killer. Didn't they have like an Endor? They had an Endor set too, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I never had that.
Okay.
I just had various figurines. I had, most of it was hand-me-down stuff from my brothers. A few of it was my actual figurines.
Cool.
I remember my friend next door had a actual Jabba the Hutt setup that had his little couch, Jabba, and Salacious Crumb.
That's cool.
Little dude.
Cool.
That was an awesome toy set. I sadly never got that one. But no, in the early mid-90s, before we moved into this area, we had a storage facility with a lot of stuff in it, and sadly it got broken into and all my Star Wars toys were stolen out of it.
Oh, at that time. Dude, that's terrible.
And a few of the pieces, I think, there's a few G.I. Joe ones that went, but I had some of the G.I. Joe stuff with me, but not all of it.
Yeah.
A few G.I. Joe pieces went, including a few pieces of the USS flag at that point. So that's why it's kind of incomplete.
Boo.
Yeah, it sucks. Plus, I was an idiot when I was a kid. Before all the stuff went to storage, I had one friend that I played G.I. Joe stuff with a lot, and probably older than we should have been. We were like 12, still playing with G.I. Joes.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime he got some flashy new G.I. Joe thing, I would try to trade him for it, and I would give up like my really cool stuff just to have his brand new stuff that was crap comparatively. Like I had a giant 2.5
foot. You ruined your own childhood.
Oh, God. I had a 2.5 foot stealth fighter. There was a G.I. Joe stealth fighter. It was an expensive 2.5 foot stealth fighter. Right?
Like the, huge. We're talking like the giant triangular, like yes. The actual stealth fighter that, well, I remember that one.
Not exactly like that. Not exactly cool. Like that. Not exactly like that, but I can show you a picture of the, of the version. Uh-huh. And I traded that for like a little green Jeep thing because I thought the green Jeep thing was cool. My parents were so pissed at me for good reason too. I got had on that deal. Totally had. But
yeah, that sounds like you did.
But no, I still have in storage some of my G.I. Joe toys. My favorite character was always Storm Shadow.
Cool.
I loved Storm Shadow, and he did in the comics and in the animated universe. He did eventually become a G.I. Joe. He broke away from Cobra.
Oh, cool.
Became a Joe. So he had his redemption story.
Yeah, all right.
And
all right.
Him and Snake Eyes started working together. But Storm Shadow, just the name, Storm Shadow, that's a badass name.
That's a good name.
It's better. People be like, oh, I love Snake Eyes. Screw Snake Eyes. Storm Shadow is a badass. And at least Storm Shadow talks. I mean, Vow of Silence.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't think about that. I don't know. I always thought I like the ninja characters. Yeah, G.
You're a ninja guy, which,
again, you know, it's just, dude. Grew up on Bruce Lee movies and Ninja Turtles is my childhood heroes, man.
I think it's a very heavy thing from the Xennial generation being very big fans of martial arts and that kind of stuff. How we were kind of thrown at us, but no, those are kind of my big things. And again, Star Wars toys, big deal. I had some. In fact, I think I showed you a picture. Did I show you the picture of me as a small child laying in bed with an X-wing fighter?
No, and why is that not a meme that we've shared yet?
I haven't used the picture yet as a meme, but I will. No worries.
That's going to happen.
Oh yes, it will.
I will make sure it happens.
Here's the beautiful part about that. Now, I don't remember this Christmas, but my parents would tell the story of this Christmas, and my dad to this day will vouch for this story. I came out Christmas morning, looked under the Christmas tree, grabbed one package, set it aside, and said, "That's my X-wing fighter." Left it alone. Opened every other present. Guess what? That box that I didn't open that I waited for to last, it was my X-Wing fighter. Nice. I knew the box that well. And it was a Return of the Jedi X-Wing fighter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, apparently, years and years later, I mean, I'm an adult, and so this is maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's at least 7 years ago because my mom was still alive when I asked her about this.
Yeah.
But I asked her, whatever happened to my X-Wing fighter?
Oh, no.
I don't remember what happened to my X-Wing fighter.
You're going to end this episode on a sour note, aren't you?
Not necessarily a sour note. We were at friends of the family's house.
Right.
And some other kid was really interested in it. And for some reason, my mom had me give the kid the X-Wing fighter. I don't remember any of this, though. And so it's just one of those.
Or did you not want to give that up?
Oh, well, no, I didn't want to, I'm sure. I'm sure I was very unhappy about giving it up. But apparently, I was asked to give it up because the family was... a family maybe was down on its luck, had some issues and problems. Maybe the kid didn't have any toys at all. I don't know what all the motivation behind it was. And sadly, my father's kind of recounted the story to me a little bit. But that's one of those, to me, that's a holy grail toy that I would spend $100 on.
Yeah.
And that's how much they run for on eBay. If I had an extra $100, just, I mean, I don't ever have an extra $100 just to throw around because I ain't rich. But funny, I'm thinking that having an extra $100 to throw around is rich. In my mind, yes, it is. But
I understand. Hey, look, man, that's not really a small amount of money.
Especially on a toy that you're just going to leave sit in a box and never do anything with. But that's definitely one of those things that's like, you know, I get rich someday, I'm going to drop $100 on one of those just so that I can have it again, because that's kind of like the one toy that, like, I would have liked to have held on to. I would have liked to have kept.
Yeah.
And didn't get a chance to. But that's, again, Star Wars, as much as it means to me now, it didn't mean as much to me back then.
No, I understand that.
Like I said, G.I. Joe was my major focus. And, dude, I was even planning as I became an adult. You know, I'm a kid thinking, wow, when I get to be an adult, I get my own place. And I'm going to have a room that's 50 feet by 50 feet. And I'm going to build in this room an entire G.I. Joe setup, whether it be a G.I. Joe base on one side and a Cobra base on the other side.
Yeah.
And it'll be built up on platforms off the floor so I could crawl underneath and pop out at certain points and have them fight. And there'll be a river in it so I could have my little submarine go in the river that's in it.
Yeah.
And everything in the water will be recycled through with however it's going to happen. I'm gonna do like, you know, like in the Charlie the Chocolate Factory that Tim Burton did, but the original one that we saw with Gene Wilder and whatnot, when he opens the door to the chocolate room.
Yep.
You know, if you want to view paradise, my paradise would have been like that kind of a look.
Yeah.
But as a G.I. Joe setting, everything set up for 3 3/4 inches as the height, normal height of people. So I could have, and I'm thinking, yeah, when I'm in my 20s, that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm totally going to still be playing with G.I. Joes in my 20s. And I'm going to have a job so I can buy all the G.I. Joes and have a house where I can have this whole setup and keep playing G.I. Joes for the rest of my life. Yeah, it didn't happen that way. But no, that's how big I was on it. But I you know, I've been able to get a few collectibles. But it's funny because Star Wars has become more of a collectible thing to me now, and G.I. Joe far less of a collectible thing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Star Wars above G.I. Joe has become like a.
Well, that's on a personal preference.
Honestly, like, it's kind of dropped out as a household name. It was back in the '80s, but it wasn't really. It's not really so much now.
No, and they tried a couple of live action movies that were subpar.
Yeah, exactly. There was a bit of an attempted revival at that, but dude, Star Wars has been the. They couldn't make another Star Wars movie, and it'd still be valid after 20-30 years.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is going to be around for, I'm assuming, a lot longer.
Yeah.
Than what it is, and I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just funny the way that those. Those things that mean so much to us as kids kind of don't necessarily hold the same allure when we become adults, even as much as they tried to market it down our throats.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I tend to think, I mean, it does have more of a cultural importance. Actually, depending on who you are, having this experience now with the reboots and that kind of stuff that's happening, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing.
Well, no. And I think what's interesting about it is having that ability to give it to a new audience. I mean, like my son, for example, he loves the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Nice.
Absolutely loves them. He has both of them, and he has all the different characters, multiple versions of the different characters.
Nice.
Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady, which are in the new movies.
Oh, cool.
New Casey Jones.
Yeah, those ones I've missed.
And he also has like a 3-foot-tall cityscape that goes down into their sewer lair.
That was part of that movie line?
Well, it's a newer playset, yeah.
Cool.
It's a newer playset.
That's cool.
He's got that set up in his room. So, I mean, it's nice to see that it can be introduced to multiple generations, but at the same time, you know, it's still, hey, I mean, that's kind of what Michael Bay does anyway, is he makes movies to sell toys and sell crap. He's either blowing things up or selling crap. I mean, Transformers.
So he basically, he's the 80s Turtles. In 2019.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, cool.
Basically, yes, which makes sense.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not really.
Nope.
Not really. So just keep that in mind. Anybody ever want to send anything to us? You send Mike some turtle stuff, send me some Star Wars or G.I. Joe stuff. We love those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I mean, if you want to donate anything, that'd be the way to go.
If somebody ever does, it will be, unless you're seeing the video, obviously you won't see this, but we do have little mascots that sit on our table with us. I have a Angry Yoda and Bandit 1, and Mike has a Short Bus, Chupacabra, and for some reason he did not wear his...
I didn't wear it this time. I don't know. I have it sitting on the desk for when I put it on at one point. But
yeah, he didn't wear his armband.
Got the Hylian symbol on an armband over here, but the short bus has a completely different significance. That, with an old rock band I was in, our tour bus was an actual short bus that we bought.
And, it was rather amusing.
It was very amusing, and it was kind of cursed. But you know what, man? It never ran well, but it was, dude, it got us places.
As long as you stayed
inside. We took that to L.A., damn it. We took it to L.A.
You did. You took it to the whiskey, so.
Yep.
But, yes, if anybody ever does contribute, friends, family, anybody else, any toy-type items, they will become part of the mascot table, I promise.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think we're done for the day. We good?
I would say so.
We good. We talked about some interesting things about toys. Hopefully made you all think about your toys. Actually, here's a little challenge I'm going to say for our listeners. Get on the Facebook page. Like the Facebook page if you haven't already.
Please do.
And leave us comments with your favorite toys from your childhood.
You guys want to see where the Facebook page is at? It's at facebook.com/Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Bleh. Boy. Bit of a tongue twister sometimes.
You got it out there.
You could also follow us on Twitter at Zenchron, spelled the same, X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Go to thezenialchronicles.com if you want to hear us streaming on our own website. Also,
we have a website.
We do. We have a website, thezenialchronicles.com or zenchron.com as well.
Thank you to Rob and Hino for the website.
Yes. We thank you guys. Both of you. You guys are fantastic.
Yes.
Also, if you're following us on YouTube, go ahead and comment on YouTube. Let us know. Please, man. Do. We might say something about it the next go round, man.
Please do. And any comments about what we've talked about or about things maybe we should talk about.
Yeah, give us some suggestions. We'd love to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, get involved.
All right.
Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you again in a week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.